On behalf of the entire Jets organization, it's my privilege to announce the 5th annual Public Schools Athletic League's Play Like a Jet Scholarship. These scholarships are awarded to one male and one female PSL athlete who excel both on and off the field and in the classroom. Before we meet our winners, I would like to take this time to recognize Tyrone Parker from the PSAL. Our partnership over the years has helped recondition every football helmet in the PSAL and create the first varsity girls flag football league, along with 13 new developmental boys football programs. Our first winner today is Sarah DeJesus, who is from Truman High School in the Bronx. She played tennis this year, and she will attend Monroe College this fall. Our second winner is Mohammed Kwanda, who is not with us today. He has taken the state regents exam, and he is from Taft Educational Campus, also in the Bronx, and was a member of the track and soccer teams this year. He will attend SUNY Buffalo this fall. At this time, I'd like our winner to come up and be presented with the scholarship. So, Sarah, come up. Coach, come in. And the scholarship is for $5,000. Sarah.
Okay, here we go. So we got down to our last day, tomorrow. But today was good. I think it was better. Offensively, it was much better. We caught the ball. I finally hit on that one guarantee. Many, many less penalties. I don't know if you guys noticed. We weren't supposed to do the push-ups if you waved it like this, but we did them anyway. I was going to make sure I hit on that guarantee. But, I did think it was better, offensively for sure. Maybe not defensively, but on offense we caught the ball better. We're challenging our guys. And, I think it's good to see, guys are getting better. We're still making mistakes. There's guys still making mistakes, but it seems like they're new mistakes and not the same old ones. So if there's an encouraging thing there, I believe that would be it. Seems like we're fixing things, and then we realize we got to fix other things. But that's kind of coaching. That's just the way it is. But overall, I'm proud of our guys' effort. I think we've been relatively healthy, yet pushing each other as well, trying to get the most out of each other. We did have Chris Ivory never finished practice today. I don't know if you guys noticed that even, but he's he kind of had a rolled an ankle. Yeah, it's not severe or anything, but if you notice he never finished today, that was the reason. Probably, we'll see how it is tomorrow, but we'll probably hold him out tomorrow as well. But with that, I'll go ahead and open it up for questions.
Coach, what's it been like for some of the draft picks during mini camp so far, like Calvin and Dexter?
Well, I think it's good. I think maybe for those guys in particular, it's probably, I think you realize the game's different. It's going to be faster, played at a different tempo than what you're used to because of skill level of the guys up here. The other thing, what I think is a shock to most guys, is when they get in the league and you're playing, for instance, we have 80 defenses in already, 80 of them. So I think that's probably a little more than the 5 or 6 that they're used to.
What are your feelings on the team's release of Mike Dixon?
Well, I think it's you know, what I feel good about is that I think, you know, with all of our players, we provide them an opportunity, and you know, it's unfortunate, you know, it never worked out. You know, wishing them the best moving forward.
Are you concerned about what might be happening with him? It sounds like he's been incommunicado.
Well, he has, and that does concern you. There's no question, concerns me. But again, you know, I've tried to reach out to him, and haven't been able to make contact with him.
Rex, when's the last time you spoke to him, and do you have any sense where he is
at? Last time he was here, it's probably the last day he was here. In the off season, I talked to him, as I talked to almost all the guys that are in. You know, he was rehabbing an injury, and that was the last time I talked to him.
Do you have any idea where he is?
No, I do not.
How far back was that when you said?
Gosh, probably want to say, I want to be accurate with the information, but I'm saying maybe 2 or 3 months ago. Maybe.
Rex, I'm sorry, go ahead, Jane.
Oh, thanks.
No, it's probably, I have a different topic.
So. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I was going to say, you know, running back-wise, Chris Johnson, I know he made it all the way through individuals today. What have you seen from him? How has he looked? What are you expecting?
Well, I'm expecting, you know, great things out of our backfield in general. Adding Chris Johnson to what we already have with, you know, obviously with Chris Ivory and Bilal Powell. And, you know, I think it's a tremendous, you know, we're obviously deep and talented at that spot. But as far as physically, I think our guys have been pleased with him. You know, he's got, you see that straight line speed when he works out. We've seen that from him. And we're just, you know, we're kind of taking a slow approach with him. That's why we're not rushing him into mini camp and things like that. We want Chris healthy. We want both our Chris's healthy for that matter. But, you know, that's the main thing right now. And our guys, in my opinion, do a better job than any team in the league. And getting guys prepared and ready to go and be able to handle it, you know, the long haul. And I think we've proven that from Landry, from Cologne, from all these guys. They do a great job. So I really lean on the trainers. And when it's time to go here, I've, you know, all the confidence in the world he'd be ready.
Rex, watching practice, Kyle Wilson is lining up as the nickelback, mm-hmm. As he has in the past. What do you like about him? What does he bring to the table?
I tell you, it's kind of like, you know, some guys it takes a little bit longer for and all that. Kyle's always had the smarts and the brains and all that. Right now, what I see is a more confident player. You know, in year four, you hope that would happen, but it's I see it, and he's making, you know, he's attacking the football in the air. He's doing different things. He's taking more of a leadership role in this defense where, you know, he's making out, you know, he's making calls. He's, you know, he's always talking to his teammates. And I think that's a real positive sign because we all know Kyle's got the physical attributes to look for, the size, speed, all that type of stuff. But now it's, you know, I really feel good about him. I just think that he's, you know, I sense that confidence, and I think when you play with confidence, you'll have more production. And I think that's where he's at right now, in my opinion.
Rex, getting back to the running game, we know you're always a fan of having a strong running game, but is it more critical when you have a first-year or second-year quarterback to try to alleviate some of the pressure on him, especially if things aren't going well?
Well, yeah, you put it that way, phrase it that way. Absolutely, you better be able to do something, you know. But so, yeah, I would, you know, I think anytime you have a running game, whether it's, you know, but a young quarterback in particular, as we say, I mean, these kids are not coming in the league ready to face 80 defenses. You know what I mean? They're just not, you know, so it takes a little time. But having that running game is a great equalizer. It's the best thing for you as a football team if you can run the football. Because there's games that you need to close out, and you do that by running. There's also games that I've seen guys come from behind by running the football. And I think if you – two critical factors. If you can run the football and you can stop the run, you got a heck of a chance. And I believe that. I've always believed that. If you can't stop the run or you can't run it, you're in trouble. And you know, so but I feel good. I think we can stop and run. I think we'll be able to run it.
Rex, Antonio Allen had some ice on his right hand in there. Is that anything major or?
He said it was his wrist.
His wrist? No, I never. It's the first time hearing about it.
Right, it's a wrist.
Okay, it's a wrist. So, are you concerned? Maybe I should be. I don't know. I mean, he's. Yeah, that kid's always complaining about something. No, I'm just kidding.
How
about he's a tough kid.
How about D Miller coming along, right?
I think so. Yep. I really like the way D played yesterday. I haven't, you know, seen the tape from today. But, you know, again, you guys know how I feel about what the jump I expect him to take. It's not going to be easy, but I think he certainly has the ability. But we'll see, you know, again, that confidence, that position. Man, so much of it is about confidence. And I know D's ready to go. I think he expects big things from himself, and I think his teammates expect big things from him as well.
Craig Salas doesn't get mentioned a lot when it comes to the wide receivers, but got a lot of balls today. What's your opinion on how he's looking?
He really catches the ball well. He's always got the ball well. I really liked him when he came out of Hawaii. In fact, I wanted to go to Hawaii to work him out, but that's another story. But really, you know, his size, you know, he's got good size. He really catches the football. He catches it away from his body. And he's got some run after the catch, and he's physical. You know, he's got run after catch, and proven by the fact he catches a 60-yarder against my brother, you know, on a screen pass, which is great. But he's going to be right in this mix. And that's where, when I look at this group, I don't know who's coming out of it. I don't think anybody can tell you who's coming out of that group as the receivers. But from top to bottom, it's about as strong as I can remember. Not saying we got any, you know, all pro guy or whatever, you know, two pro bowlers. I don't know if that's the case, but from top to bottom, this is going to be a competitive training camp from these guys.
Rex, that safety, you obviously have been letting the two young guys get their right. On-the-job training. With DeJuan just watching, how does that work out in training camp? Is it going to be the same sort of deal, or how do you envision using those guys rotating?
Well, I want to give the majority of the work to the young players, because I think DeJuan can go in there, he can coach the defense, he can teach it, he can play it, but obviously he's got to get enough reps to where we feel comfortable about that as well. But here's, you know, he's a young man that really, you know, like I say, you can plug him in and be ready to go and at any time. But I think the other two young guys, you can't buy experience, and that's kind of what I'm trying to do is give them all the experience they can get. But obviously, DeJuan's going to be a major contributor for us, you know, and we want those young safeties to be as well.
Rex, here at the end of spring workouts, you've gotten a good chunk of work. Look at winners at the left side and the right side.
Mm-hmm.
And Abushi did the same thing. But for winners, any sense where he might fit best? Is he maybe better at right side, do you think?
You know, I'm not real sure about that. But we want to have the options of, you know, does he play left guard, right guard, whatever. You know, Willie Colon's availability, how that, you know, affects things. You know, so you're looking at a lot of different things. But, again, we talk about competition. We got, you know, four or five guys that are competing for those two guard spots.
Just a couple more. How's Amaro progressing?
He looks big to me. I mean, that's a big target. You know, he's, you know, I've been pleased with him. You know, yesterday I think we only completed one ball to the tight end. So, but today obviously we caught a lot more, throwing the ball, emphasizing a little bit more. But he's a big target. I think he's a big target in the red zone, obviously. The thing I'm impressed with him is, you know, he'll block in space, and that's one of the hardest things to do, to get a big guy to be able to handle that. So that would lead me to think that he could be a decent inline blocker as well. But he does some natural things in space where, you know, his reaction, he doesn't overextend, he doesn't, you know, he's patient, he knows when to get his hands on you, and that's kind of impressive to me.
He had such a rough practice 2 weeks ago, I think. He had, you know, we dropped three balls, and I mean, how did you rebound from that? Because he was not happy after that.
No. I mean, it was because, you know, but remember when we were talking about it, sometimes when you got so many things in there, you forget to do what you do, which is catch the football. But he responded the next day. He caught like 7 balls. So I think he's, you know, but and it's good. Every time a rook does something like that, gives you an opportunity to get on him, I think you should take it.
You talked about the depth of the wide receiver from top to bottom. Amaro's, you know, hasn't played a meaningful snap yet. But can you include him in that group because of his ability and experience to line up in the slot and also outside?
Yeah, but I think I just like to put him in that tight end group where I think all of a sudden I feel really good about our tight end situation. You know, when you got Jeff, you know, Cumberland, you got Jace, you got Sasquatch, and you got, you know, these two other kids. I mean, we got a chance there. Like, this is going to be good. I can see Marty being real creative with that group because, you know, you mentioned with Jace and with Zach, Cumberland was a former wideout. Zach can play outside, so can Jace. You can do a lot of different things. You know, you can present 3 tight ends out there, and all of a sudden you break out and you flex all of them out. I mean, there's a lot of different things that we can do with our guys, and Marty's system is flexible enough, our system is flexible enough to take advantage of all those guys.
Rick, you won't see these guys after tomorrow for a month, pretty much. What's the message that they need to take during the break before they come in for training camp?
I think the big message is you have an opportunity to get better, and you can get worse. And so I think that's it. It's how you take it. You can get better physically. You can get right. I like them to get away from it, to, you know, erase their computer a little bit from the mental part of it for a few weeks, you know, a couple weeks, and then get back in maybe the next 2, start going over their stuff again. But the physical part, you have to take that time right now to get yourself in the best possible shape that you can be in. And I think that's it. Some guys miss it. Some guys like, hey, I'm going on vacation, like they're a coach or something. You know, hey, when they're coaching, they can do that, you know. I don't plan on doing a whole lot of running. But the players need to. The players need to be in great shape. Our strength numbers, guys, I tell you what, I'm so proud of the work that our guys have done in the weight room. And from, you know, Justice, from all that, the whole crew, and they've done a tremendous job. And we have guys from other teams, and they're like, the commitment from our veteran players and all that's just outstanding. And I'm not surprised when you hear that, but then you see the results. Like, we have guys that they're about as strong as they've been. Their you know, percent body fat is great. It's they're always into this lean muscle mass and all that jazz. We look pretty good there too. So I don't know what it all means, but we look strong. And you know, that's good, because I thought it was important for us to get back to it. You walk in that weight room, and anytime you go in there, you can hear it. You know, we got chains on the weights. We got all kinds of stuff going on. And it's like there's some work being done. And you see the results when they're posted for our guys. And we have a lot of strong guys. We have one player that when he started did 0 pull-ups. Okay, 0. Now he does 15. And by the way, he's 350 pounds. So, like, that's impressive to me. You know, but it's a real tribute to the individuals, but it's also a tribute to our strength staff, and I think they do a great job. And so if anything, I'm probably happier with that, the way we've done in out of the weight room, than I am anything. You know, so and there's a lot of things I'm pleased with, but that's probably the number one.
Is that T.J. Lawrence you're referring to?
That's one guess, and that would be no. Oh. But you're warm.